One of the things I think we need to really take seriously is that, okay, there, what the right calls for is an ongoing community, and that there may be several periods during the year, including maybe right before Lent, where people would be welcomed through the rite of acceptance into that community of catechumens, into the order of catechumens. I prefer community. But so when you see order, think of community. And the rite is very explicit that the norm of the time an individual should spend as a catechumen should be the minimum of a year, and several years if necessary. And we need to be upfront about that at the beginning. In fact, it would help us to know the 3-year lectionary cycle was designed to provide the instructional framework for the catechumenate. Now, catechumenate is far more than instruction, but instruction is a part of it. What I would envision is that, you know, your Catholicism 101 should be the period of inquiry, and that you deal during inquiry with all of the Catholicism 101, the Catechism Lite. You know, one of those quarter-inch thick books that is a compendium or a summary of the Catechism of the Catholic Church, that needs to be dealt with. That needs to be handled, I think, during inquiry. People need to have their questions about the basics of the Catholic Church and Catholic faith answered during inquiry. When they choose, okay, now I know what it means to be Catholic. I've had my questions answered. I've sort of looked at what the church is. I've experienced something of the community, something of the welcome of the church. I found a wonderful instructor in this beautiful person who is welcoming me into this inquiry program. And now, you know, I'm ready to make a commitment. And one of the things then we have to say is, okay, here is the structure of our commitment. We welcome a tentative commitment for a period of time when you are living as a Catholic, but not yet fully joining us in the fulfillment of the Eucharistic table. But you are more a Catholic than not during the catechumenate. And I think that's the important concept that we have to have. You are more a Catholic than not in the time of the catechumenate. And this is a time of apprenticeship. And I think that's probably the best model. It's not a time of instruction. It is a time of deep reflection on the Scriptures. It's a time of participating in the nourishment of the Word of God with a view towards the fulfillment, the completion of it around the Eucharistic table. But you are one with us in the Word of God. In other words, in the catechumenate, you have to keep emphasizing how much you are one with us, how much your real commitment as a Catholic and to live a Catholic life is in the commitment to the catechumenate. You are no longer preparing to become a Catholic. You are preparing for the completion of that initiation. But you're not preparing to become a Catholic. You are, during this time, living as an apprentice, already in the house, already in the home, but not fully. Now, all comparisons tend to fall a little bit. You know, we cannot yet share the Eucharistic meal with you. But we do share the nourishment of the word. So you're not going unnourished. Remember in the Constitution on the Liturgy, there's four ways that Christ is present in the Eucharist. The first is in the community. The first is in the assembled community. Christ is really present there when we gather to worship. The catechumens participate in that. They are nourished by that presence. The second is in the Word. Catechumens are nourished by that presence. In fact, that is the appropriate nourishment for them at this point. That's sort of the not yet solid food, but the mother's milk for the catechumens. It's in the nourishment of the Word. Third, ministry within that community. And they experience the presence of Christ in those who are ministering to them in the name of Christ. And then the bread and wine of the Eucharistic meal. That is when they are ready for solid food. So the analogy is sort of like, you don't wait until a baby is weaned to call the kid human. You know? Even though they're not ready for meat and potatoes or for a vegetarian diet or whatever. They're not ready for solid food. But they are. But they need that nourishment of milk. And then for inquirers, evangelization and basic instruction should be ongoing, multifaceted. That should be the agenda of the whole parish community. Everything that you do in the name of evangelization, in the name of instruction, is in some way hopefully making this presence of Christ in the community attractive. Now, I'd like to say a brief word about those who are already baptized. I'm never quite sure exactly how and where to put this in. But we have to recognize from the get-go that there is a basic difference between people who are not baptized and those who are baptized already. And we can't lump them as converts. We can't lead them through the same stages. The rite is very explicit that these periods and steps are not for those who are already baptized. Well, and I want to, assert that it is unwelcoming to treat them all the same. Even though, and here is a practical problem, even though some folks who have been baptized have not been catechized, are far more ignorant of faith and the life of faith than many of the people who have not been baptized who are seeking union with the church, seeking to come in. That makes a difference in how we handle them individually. It does not make a difference, however, in how we actually treat them fundamentally. The person who has been baptized already has the roots given to them in baptism of identity with Christ. They are united to the body of Christ, even if they're not living that way. They are already united to the body of Christ. And so, the process, what we have to do with the people who are already baptized, is take them kind of individually. Okay, you say you were baptized as an infant, as a Methodist church, but your parents weren't particularly religious, and you grew up basically as a nothing. That person Our way of dealing with that person has to be to tease into life what is already in them. That's a different thing from preparing a person who does not yet have that in them, even though they have been very explicitly hungering and seeking for that, and even trying to live in accord with that, and trying as best they can to unite themselves with Christ, yet that baptism has not yet put that foundational thing in them. That's what we mean by, you know, the character of the sacrament. You receive the character of baptism. And I think this is a very good thing from our Catholic theology and Catholic tradition. By the fact of being baptized, validly, you receive the character of baptism, even if there's no follow-through of bringing that character into the reality of your life. You still have it. And the person who doesn't have it may have the seeking for it, may be trying to live in accord with it and whatever, but what we are doing with them is bringing them to readiness to receive what they are so much hungering for and wanting. Does that distinction make sense as a way of approaching the very real difference between those who are baptized and those who are not? Because from a practical, catechetical point of view, it's very easy kind of just to say, well, you know, we deal with them on the subjective level. We give them the instruction. We give them the formation that they need. But there is a very fundamental distinction between them that we also have to recognize. Did you have a question?
Short of going one-on-one with the baptized, how do you handle the whole group? I mean, I'm not sure how that works in practice.
Yeah.
Good question.
It's a good question. I don't know how it works. I've got a few thoughts as to how it might work. I'll be really honest, they're all somewhat labor-intensive. And you know, it might be, okay, we've got to just bear in mind what we're trying to grow this initiation community towards. One of the things that I think goes a long ways, and I'm not too sure if I actually did get this in or if it slipped by me, but one of the things that I think goes a long ways towards addressing this is concentrating as well as much as we can, maybe concentrating the majority of our effort on identifying, I don't want to use the word recruiting, but identifying and forming sponsors. Because I think sponsors in both instances have to be partners in discernment. The way that you go through this, these steps and stages and process of welcoming into the church requires fundamentally discernment on the part of the person who is entering. But the sponsor and the team and ultimately the pastor need to be partners in that discernment also. And I think the person that we need to depend on most and maybe train or at least support in that one-on-one contact is somebody to be sponsored. And to be able to be a partner, like I say, in discernment. I often look at the sponsor role as being kind of a mentor. And there's going to be different, you know, but different levels for different people. But I personally, I think the key to a healthy way of welcoming way of initiating people into our family, the key more than anything is how we develop our sponsors. And I don't know that we've really put enough effort into that. I'm not sure that we put enough effort into identifying where we might find our best sponsors. And I'm not sure that we put enough effort into mentoring them to be mentors. And let's face it, some of our best sponsors are those who went through it, are the neophytes, are those who are no longer neophytes. And that's one way. Well, you know, when you become a teacher, by your students you'll be taught. That I think is one of the really renewing things that we need to capitalize on and can capitalize on. But I think that, you know, we need to take the rite seriously. The baptized Christian is to receive both doctrinal and spiritual preparation adapted to individual pastoral requirements for reception into full communion of the Catholic Church. Anything that would equate candidates for reception with those who are catechumens is to be absolutely avoided. And the rite is so arranged so that no greater burden than necessary is required for the establishment of communion and unity. So, a person who is seeking full communion in the Catholic Church, who has had quite a faith journey, and part of the faith journey may be very active, maybe even ordination in another denomination, but is not seeking ordination as a Catholic, but is seeking to become Catholic. What level of discernment is needed there? I had one couple in my former parish. He came to me, actually came to the associate, after his own rather lengthy journey. And the associate and I conferred, and then I conferred with our director of initiation, because I would not do anything apart from them, and they were a couple who handled this just beautifully, as to what my intentions were. And we all agreed, there's nothing that we can do for him except welcome him into full communion. And that's what we did. He was ready for it. His wife, who was as ready for it as he was, said, I want to go through with the community. Now, at that point in that parish, the community meant lumping them into the catechumenate, which I kind of said, okay, but you know, because of your own baptism and because of your own previous Christian life, you know, you have more to contribute to that community than you have to gain from it. And we would really value your entering into this catechumenate, not so much as a catechumen, because you can't, but as a member of the community helping to support all of the others. And it worked. It worked. And interestingly, they both remained as part of the, each in their own way, as part of the initiation team. So a lot of personal discernment is needed there. But let's face it, personal individual discernment is needed on everybody's part. Somebody who's not baptized, who is very, very knowledgeable, and as, for example, well, I'll get to that in a moment. Here are my suggestions. And then we will be finished, because I have to finish up within 15 minutes. I already went through this. Avoid using the term RCIA for anything except the book itself. Refer to individuals during the journey by their proper period they are in: inquirers, catechumens, elect, neophytes, candidates. And I would say, don't say candidates, but say candidates for full communion. get used to it. And also get used to the fact that communion doesn't mean receiving the Eucharist. Communion means the union that we share as brothers and sisters in Christ in the Catholic faith. Full communion with the Catholic Church. Now, my second suggestion, ASAP, make your catechumenate an ongoing order. Even if it takes a programmatic break during the summer, have some way of providing continuity for those who are discerned that no, entry into the rite of purification and enlightenment is not appropriate for them at the beginning of Lent. And so a catechumenate between 1 and 2 years should be the norm, with less than 1 year an exception. Now, freely discern exceptions, but the norm should not be 6 months and the exception be you can't do it now, you got to wait another year or two or three. The norm should be longer, the exception to be shorter. If we sort of turned around that mindset, I think we'd be a long way towards then bringing our practice into accord with that. For example, a non-baptized spouse of a Catholic who has lived for many years as a Catholic life within his or her marriage. Bob Hope once quipped to an interviewer, you know, he became Catholic very shortly before he died. He was baptized. I don't think he had been baptized. But Bob Hope, many years ago, quipped to an interview, and of course it's known that Dolores Hope was a daily communicant. When I was at St. Charles Church, I celebrated Mass for her almost every day, even though I never really got to know them. The pastor held them very tightly to his chest, thank you very much, and did not let the others there really have too much contact with them. But that was okay. But Bob Hope quipped that, well, when you're married to a Catholic all these years, you're a Catholic whether you want to be or not. So, or a person who has come to the catechumenate already well catechized and integrated into Catholic practice. Maybe that could warrant an accelerated catechumenate. That, okay, maybe enough time to just be sure that you've got a space of discernment between the initial commitment, which is not final but real commitment, and the final commitment that we believe determines your eternal salvation, or certainly influences your eternal salvation. We can only speak from one side of that. We can't speak from how else God might be working. There's one sort of person that I think we have to be careful of, and we've all run into that one. The perpetual seeker. The one who has gone through just about every religion in the book and finds it unsatisfactory, and now they have finally found my home. I finally found my home in the Catholic Church, and why can't you baptize me immediately? You know, and that is the person who likely finds a new book with a few more new religions in to try sometime after we've done it. So that's one reason why sometimes if they want to accelerate it too fast, that may be the reason to say, wait a minute, remember that in the catechumenate you are more Catholic than not, but it's not final. Let's give you a period of time to live as a Catholic and be nourished by the Word. And then we will celebrate the sacraments of initiation. Now, one of the things that in my former parish, what they did, and I tried to sort of get them away from this, but they used the time of mystagogy as the time to bring in representatives from all the different Catholic organizations to do their propaganda thing and to recruit. You know, that's what it means to be Catholic, to be part of all of these organizations. I submit that's not a good use of mystagogical time, that precious mystagogical time. In a nutshell, what I would like to say is, introduce people to all of the organizations and invite them to become members of the organizations in the catechumenate. Pardon me for talking like a pastor right now, and you can throw something at me as long as it's empty. But I believe part of the rite of acceptance, if we're going to be truly welcoming, is to expect them to live as Catholics by being registered and receiving that little monthly envelope packet and doing something with that monthly envelope packet other than tossing it aside. They are Catholic at that time, and Catholic stewardship is a part of that apprenticeship, as is introduction to all the outreach ministries, the formation ministries, the community ministries, all of those things should be part of the catechumenate. The mystagogia, if inquiry was Catholicism 101, mystagogia is Catholicism 202. It should be, now let's look again, having experienced the mysteries, now on a graduate level, let's look again at the same things. So, there's plenty that should characterize mystagogia. Very, very briefly, re-examine how you handle dismissal from the Sunday liturgy. I'm not going to say too much about it, except it should not really become routine. In a sense, should there be a dismissal? I myself blow a little bit hot and cold on that. Because sometimes dismissal becomes the end-all and the be-all of the catechumenate. And I'm not so sure that that really is what it should be. On the other hand, that opportunity to reflect more deeply week after week after week, especially if you have a catechumenate that lasts for more than a year, having that reflection and in some way structuring that reflection so that it does take place normally rather than just at certain times could be a real value. Can everybody make it? For all of them? No. Should somebody be expected to be the catechist at all of them? No. But there should be some kind of format, I think, for the catechumens to immerse themselves in the scripture if you're going to have a regular Sunday dismissal to make it regular. But I think it needs to be kind of meaty at the moment where they're being dismissed. That it's not just, get out of here and do your thing. But there needs to be an assurance engaging everybody in prayer for them. And there's a lot of prayer texts for blessings of catechumens in here. And also, I think the repeated ritual of anointing of catechumens can be a good part of that dismissal ritual.
Question. Mm-hmm. So, how do you feel about the candidates dismissing with the catechumen?
They shouldn't be.
But they want to. They don't want to miss, because out of my 25, I've got 8 catechumens. Mm-hmm. The rest are candidates. Mm-hmm. And the candidates are all mostly people that were baptized young and then nothing happened for the rest of their life. Mm-hmm. And they want a journey. They want to continue the mm-hmm. journey with everyone. Mm-hmm. And I don't like breaking that bond that they're creating amongst themselves.
And I think that bond is an important one. I don't want to downplay that. But they should not be part of the rite of that dismissal. Maybe they could join the catechumens.
So we could dismiss the catechumens, pray, and then the candidates.
Think about if that works. think about if that works. Don't go back and say, Father Monsignor Welber said we should do this, okay? But think about if that works. But I think that there's a couple of things that are really kind of important here. One is the dismissal is for catechumens, it's not for candidates. The other is, in that continuing to reflect on Scripture, the candidates may very well want to be part of that community. And just exactly how do you ritualize that and embody that is a question. And it's not one that can be easily answered. And it may not be answered right with the first thing that you do, the first time you try it. You know, experiment a little. Please don't overburden the Sunday liturgy. I've found a certain obsessive compulsiveness on the part of some initiation leaders that everything has to take place at the Sunday Mass. Everything doesn't have to take place at a Sunday Mass. And you can turn what should be a welcoming community assembly into a very frustrated and annoyed assembly quite quickly by throwing too much stuff at them. And that's not welcoming. And I guess the bottom line thing is, remember that rites serve the people, not the other way around. With that, if you want to share this with anybody, maybe, you know, to get a good laugh. You'll never believe what this guy said. If you want to share this with anybody, I hope by the end of the day, I'll have a link. Notice I'm recording it. I'll have a link up on my website, which is tomwelbers.net. You'll be able to download it as an MP3 file and also download this as a PDF file. Now, last thing. About 2 or 3 weeks ago, I actually did a session with our catechumens-to-be and candidates-to-be and initiation community on what do we need to know about marriage and divorce and annulments. And these are the notes from it. And also, at the very bottom there, is where will be the... actually, you can do the tomwelbers.net. That'll take you to the same place. But to be sure that you get to the page that will have this, twlegacyblogspot.com, blah, 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 that'll take you right to the... right to that particular place. And then there'll be a link you can click on, and it'll be there. If you... might want to try that out. Thank you so much. God bless you all.